10:22 the time. Welcome into the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Our poll question up on our Facebook page. Meet in or meet out. You got to pick one, apparently. You got to let us know what you're eating in a couple of weeks. Comment on our Facebook page or text into the Tatanka Grill text line at 970-478-1301. Very excited and happy to bring back Sean Chambers, Director of Water and Sewer, to talk about this the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. A big win for the city of Greeley last night as the city council unanimously approves the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. So welcome in and congratulations, I suppose.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll tell you, it's an important milestone in long-range planning and making sure that we have a secure and resilient future for this community.
Yeah, were you surprised by the unanimous vote? Did you kind of have an idea going in, or what was that like?
You know, we had worked to make sure that both the public and the council were all well informed. We've been working on this project for more than a year.
Right.
Had a number of important touch points with the council, some of those coming before we signed up to the agreement and before we started the really intensive due diligence. So we were working very hard to keep them well informed. And you never know exactly how a vote's going to come out, but we did all the things that we could do to make sure good, transparent information was available.
Yeah, and I was actually bragging on the city of Greeley earlier in my broadcast here in my show, talking about the dissemination of information. Yeah, I mean, you guys were on it. I mean, your messaging was clear and concise, and I think that really helped things. Were you at the actual vote last night? So did you hear any of the public forum side of things? What was that like?
Yeah, so unfortunately, due to COVID, right, we're in this unique time. So everything was virtual. So we were all present, virtually speaking, and there was a lot of public comment and testimony from a diverse group of individuals and organizations, some for and some against, but a lot of heavy hitters from a diverse group of or diverse set of stakeholders weighed in right. support of the project, and that was fantastic to hear. So some really important community groups such as the Poudre Learning Center, Downtown Development Authority, the Greeley Chamber.
Yep, I saw Jamie Henning was on there for sure.
All spoke up with overwhelming support for the project.
Well, and like you said, I mean, when we sat down and Adam, Joe, Kirsten, yourself and I, we all sat down and had this conversation, to me, it made sense from the beginning. Like I said, you follow along and understand that diversity in water is so important, and the way that you guys are setting the example and going to lead with this Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. I'm excited, but the question is, what's next?
Yeah, so remember, this is a project that has an opportunity to be phased in over the long term. We don't need this project tomorrow right. to be able to meet our future need tomorrow or next year even. It offers us some unique resiliency attributes in that it provides diversity in supply that is not impacted by wildfire or drought. Yeah. So we're excited to get to the preliminary phase one level where we can bring this water online, but that's going to take a number of years. You know, so what truly comes next are taking the next steps to get to the closing table with the seller, making sure we have everything in order there, preparing to transfer the lease with the state land board to Greeley's hands, making sure that we're being effective public communicators. Even though we've gotten past the council vote, we still have a lot of strong logic to make sure that the conversation is fact-based out in the community.
Right. Yeah. So that fact-based conversation, what's that? What's that all about?
Well, so we're reliant on science and yep. a tremendous amount of due diligence that's been done scientifically by industry-leading experts. And so we're going to continue to break that up and try and get away from being so technical and share that information more broadly with the general public as we work to then develop more engineering around the project right. in terms of, like, how does the infrastructure get laid out? What do the pipeline routes look like? What does right-of-way acquisition and easements look like? And start talking to landowners. So those are some previews of what the next steps might look like.
We're talking with Sean Chambers here with the city of Greeley. Did it feel like a sigh of relief? Did you feel like a little bit of a weight off of your shoulders when that vote did come through? Or was it like maybe for a brief second, enjoy a whiskey, and then you say, all right, we got to get back at it?
You know, the project team has worked tirelessly, and the Water and Sewer Board has been deeply invested, and so has the council. And so, you know, what happened formally last night is a major milestone, and it's one worth celebrating. But it's also a milestone, and there are many more milestones to bring this project to full design and to fruition. And so we know we have a lot of work ahead of us, and we're going to do everything that's necessary to deliver a safe, reliable project to the citizens. And so we've got marching orders, but yeah, it was great to get that milestone behind us.
I love that. I talked with Ryan when we talked to some of our sports guests about coaches speak. On to the next one. You got to play one game at a time. You just gave me some coaches speak there, Sean. I like that. You could be the coach. You know, we got to take one at a time, do the little things, execute it. But with a project this big, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is those steps, and it's a long haul. I mean, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's right. This is a marathon, and that's one of the real, you know, fundamental advantages to this project is the ability to phase it, and that means planning for an adaptive management approach to building it over time, to managing those costs so that they don't impact or impair our ability to serve our residents affordable water. And so we're going to be taking a very proactive, planned approach to designing and constructing this infrastructure over a long period of time.
We're talking again with Sean Chambers with the City of Greeley joining us here, talking about the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. This was one that, I mean, I don't want to say hotly contested, but it was definitely debated and controversial to some. Our producer on his way back to the station yesterday got a pamphlet thrown into his threw into his car, hit his window down, and it was thrown in there, and it was saying stop the Terry Ranch Aquifer Project. What would your message be to the people who so strongly oppose this project that they were even out in front of City Hall yesterday before this vote happened?
Yeah, you know, I'll say that we've embraced their dialogue and the criticism that they placed on the project. And over the last 9 months, that dialogue has made the project diligent stronger. It's given us an opportunity to dig deeper, to be more confident in our ability to develop the project and to develop it safely and reliably. So this public discourse that happens in a democracy has made the public's project better ultimately. And I encourage them to stay, you know, informed and involved. The project webpage will continue to be updated. Our communication will continue to be out there. We want to make sure that we deliver a project that is reliable and meets the citizens' needs for future water supply.
Well, between the number of interviews, I mean, this is the second interview here on my show. I believe you're on with Mornings with Gail as well. The Tribune articles, I mean, you guys are getting out there. And I think that's a big part of it as well. When did it come apparent to you in this process that you said, okay, we're going to need to get in front of some of this. We need to get this conversation started, and we're going to have to control where it goes so that these misconceptions don't run astray.
Well, you know, remember that we arrived at this project through our effort to permit the expansion of a large surface water reservoir on the North Fork of the Poudre River. That reservoir is known as Milton Seaman. And even as far back as 3-4 years ago, we were spending a pretty significant amount of money communicating on that project. So we've known that whatever big water supply project we were going to undertake to secure our community's future, that it was going to be important to be out there publicly communicating through a wide variety of media, making sure that we hit a lot of different demographics and different groups who need to know what our long-range planning looks like. And as that project at Milton Seaman became more challenging, communication only raised in its importance to us,
Yeah. Right?
And at some point, you know, during that interim period, the city developed its own internal communications and engagement team. And that team has been very valuable in helping us make sure that we're, you know, proceeding as appropriately as possible to engage all different types of people from all different audiences on all kinds of different Right. Media platforms.
Are you tired of doing interviews? Are you ready to be done talking about this for a while? Are you ready just to get to work now?
You know, most of us in the water and sewer world, we're kind of technocrats, if you will. And so we don't spend a lot of time in front of the camera or the radio mic. So we're just getting comfortable with this role. But, you know, we're always happy to communicate on this subject. We're proud of what we do. We're confident in what we do, and we're eager to share that.
Sean Chambers, director of the Water and Sewer Department for the city of Greeley. Before I let you go, like we were talking, our poll question today, it's so silly. The governor came out and made March 20th a quote-unquote meat out day, encouraging people to not eat any sort of meat. Now, today, actually at 9 o'clock this morning, the Weld County Commissioners proclaimed March 20th as a meat in day. Like I said, mom and dad are fighting again. Your thoughts on that, on the eating of meat on March 20th? Are you eating meat? Are you not eating meat? Or are you going to go as you normally would?
You know, I guess I've been busy with other things. This is the first time I've heard of this fray.
You're lucky. You're very lucky.
But I'll tell you, at Greeley Water, agricultural is fundamental to our vision for the future. One of the big attributes of the Terry Ranch Project is it allows us to keep more agricultural land in production here in Weld County. And, you know, the legacy of W.D. Farr and many others is a really important cultural anchor for us, and we wholeheartedly believe in ag production and in meat in Weld County. So,
you ever consider a career in politics? Because I think you got those answers ready to go. You're set up, man. Smooth talker.
No, those are just our cultural values, and so they're pretty easy to share.
All right, Sean. Anything else that the people need to know about this Terry Ranch Aquifer Project and where it's going from here?
No, you know, we continue to be open and transparent and available to answer your questions.
See, somebody's calling in right now to get a question.
And so, you know, if further questions unfold, you know, you can find access to us via the webpage. You can also find tremendous amounts of project information via the webpage, and look for us to continue to communicate with the public.
All right, Sean, thank you so much for your time. Always enjoy having you and talking water. And I'm not going to let you get away from the radio mic as easy as you'd like. We're talking a lot of water on this program going forward, so you're not going anywhere. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network, joins us. It's NoCo Now. Let's get to the bottom of the hour, News and Weather Center.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The time. Welcome into the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Man, this show is flying by. A lot of great guests. Appreciate Mario Gomez in the first hour with Alliance Irrigation. Robin Varelman with Livestock Exchange. We didn't even get a chance to talk really about the cattle market. Got too busy, caught up on this March 20th thing. Then Sean Chambers, City of Greeley Water, the Terry Ranch Aquifer has been approved and will be moving forward. And last but certainly not least, Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network, joining us now. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
I don't know why I'm last. Those guys are a lot smarter than I am, so I'm glad you put me in the nine hole, so to speak.
I used all my brain power, so we'll see. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't even say the Patriot League, so I think you're sitting in pretty good company here.
Okay, that's good. We'll get along just fine then. So kind of winding down basketball, and man, we could talk some football tomorrow if you wanted to.
That is so crazy. Let's start first with it's crazy to even, I'm like, what month is it? Let's talk basketball first. We had a huge one last night. Number one, Windsor Wizards, they had a big test, and they came out on top.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I thought the game was played at the pace that Longmont wanted, because Windsor typically likes a little high scoring affair and up and down the court a little bit. So the pace favored Longmont, but the final score obviously ended up on the right side for the Wizards. And I think with that win, not only did they lock up the championship league wise, but probably the number one seed in the overall 4A bracket. And again, they're going to be a team to contend with as we work ourselves into the playoffs. Already starting in 6 days. It gets underway next Tuesday.
What do you think? I mean, are they a legitimate, are they the favorite for winning the state title this year?
Not a clear-cut favorite in 4A. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago because Longmont will still be there. They obviously proved last night they can play with the best and are one of the best. Lewis Palmer kind of had a two-week break with quarantine, so they're rounding themselves back into shape down south. I still don't want to count out Meade. Steamboat Springs may be a sleeper out west. They're unbeaten. So is Montrose. So there's a couple of teams that you don't hear a lot about that will be way up there when the bracket comes out on Monday. So you've got a good field in 4A, and again, not a clear-cut favorite, but wins are surely in that mix.
Talking with Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network. Let's jump down to the 3A classification. This field seems to be completely wide open right now for anybody to really take the 3A.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like St. Mary's because of style of play. I like Lutheran because of their roster. Several teams, I think, out of the Patriot League will make a deep playoff run. Sterling, obviously, the league champ based on their win last night, and if they shoot it, they can beat anybody in the state. Eaton, they have to look at a weird situation. I'm just going through the brackets as you called. We updated some combined rankings this morning. We'll publish those here in just a little bit and then lay out the potential bracket. Where Eaton is sitting right now is 24th in our bracket, so they would be, quote-unquote, the last team in the field this year. But you've got a Confluence League that has three teams competing for a championship, and not one of them right now is in the top 24. But under the scenario that we have in place this year, that team will get into the bracket. So even if they're not in the top 24, they get in automatically by winning their league. And if the playoffs started today, Eaton would be the team that would be bumped from the top 24, and they would not be in the state tournament field in favor of a team such as Conservatory Green, Green Valley Ranch, or College View. Those are all Denver Science schools. Those are the three teams competing for the Confluence League title. One will get a bid, and whoever ends up 24th in the final rankings will get bumped from the field. That's the case in a couple of other divisions as well.
Well, you're talking about Eaton there at number 24, University there at number 23 as well. So that Patriot League, I mean, you could get some teams in, but really you're in danger of losing a couple for that automatic bid as well, like you mentioned. What are your thoughts on Rez Christian? What are you hearing on this team? Sitting number 9 right now in your composite rankings up on ColoradoPreps.com. Give me your thoughts on Resurrection Christian.
They have a chance to do some things. I mean, right now they'd be paired with Eaton, would be a tremendous first-round matchup if you started today again, pending that Confluence League champ. But they would be in a tough bracket as the number 9 seed. They could feasibly play Inglewood in a second-round game. And the Pirates are a team that nobody knows about. They play in the Colorado Conference. It's kind of a throwaway league, 3A and 4A and so on, so to speak, kind of leftover teams, if you will. But they're unbeaten. Check that. They got one loss, but they scored a big win over Colorado Academy over the weekend. That kind of went under the radar, but that's a big win for the Pirates. And they're a team that Rez could match up with in the second round if the pairings hold true. They'd also be in the same bracket with St. Mary's, so it would be tough for them to get back to the Final Four. But they're obviously a playoff team. I just don't know how deep they can go this year because they've got a lot of kids going to play their first-time playoff minutes in their career.
So this is a little weird that we're talking about all these different contenders, and for the first time in a long time, we haven't said the Highland Huskies. Well, they've jumped up into that 3A classification, but they may be flying under the radar a little bit with that 2A schedule they've played.
Big time. I think they're a top 10 team, to be honest with you, but I think a lot of coaches are still not sure they're in the 3A bracket, but they are. And right now they would be seeded 12th, and you talk about Rez with a tough seed. I think that might be a good placement for the Huskies because they would take on a Buena Vista team that's 21st right now, kind of a middle-of-the-pack club in the Tri-Peaks, then possibly a trip down to Centauri for a second-round game. Think they could win that. And then on the other side, you're looking at Coleridge and Manitou as the bracket would shape up right now. So if Highland stays in that 11-12 spot, I really think they have a good setup as far as the postseason is concerned. And like you said, they haven't gotten any attention this year, completely different from the last two or three years. So I think that adds to their chip on the shoulder, if you will. So they're primed, I think, for a pretty good run here in 3A.
Well, and they're doing the things that you would want a 3A team to be doing, playing a 2A schedule. I mean, they're blowing people out.
Yeah, and they were blowing those same people out as a 2A school. So, again, I think they need to change leagues, and I think in the new cycle they will probably end up in the Patriot, which would be great for them long term. But you're right, they're dominating people, but again, some of their opponents are not widely known. You know, the Front Range Christians of the world in the Mile High League, so they're not getting a lot of press statewide, not getting a lot of respect, and I think that just plays into their MO as we're the underdogs. Nobody treats us fairly. Nobody thinks we're very good, and so, again, I think they'll carry that into the playoffs, and, again, pending their placement, have a chance to make a very good run.
So let's, as we continue our conversation here with Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network, let's move over to the girls' side of things in that 3A classification. What's the outlook?
Well, I haven't gotten that far in my bracket, so let me pull up my rankings here too. But we have, you know, Vanguard, Centauri, Platte Valley, Lutheran, Delta, and Eaton make up the top six. And University, with their late run, have pushed up to eighth, and another Patriot team, or pushed up to seventh, and then another Patriot team, Brush, is eighth right now. So you're looking at four teams, Tanner, from the Patriot League that would get a top eight seed and a first-round bye. So that obviously shows the depth and the strength of the league, and I think all four can make a deep playoff run. Vanguard is a team out there that has been on the cusp the last couple of years of doing great things. They've kind of been overshadowed in the Tri-Peaks by St. Mary's and their great run. Well, they beat St. Mary's pretty soundly earlier this week and basically wrapped up the Tri-Peaks title. This is a team that has kind of followed what Platte Valley's in the middle of doing. They played a lot of freshmen and sophomores. Now those kids are juniors and seniors. They got a transfer in that is a dandy player. So I think they're the team to beat in 3A girls right now. They're unbeaten, kind of been tested a couple of times in beating Centauri, and also St. Mary's, as I mentioned, still have Manitou on the schedule. So I think they're the team to beat in 3A girls right now.
Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network. I think you had a lot of people confused about talking about football as we sit here on March 3rd. Explain it to our listeners.
Well, spring football, obviously, if you go back to the fall when we weren't going to play in the fall, and then they changed around and said we are going to play in the fall, they gave every school in the state the weekend to decide when they were going to play, either in the fall or here in the spring. 60 of them decided to wait and practice for the spring season. Gets underway tomorrow, and again, you have 60 teams. They're split up over five divisions, 8-man, 2A, 3A, 4A, and 5A. 8-man has eight teams in the division. The others have between 12 and 16. So you're going to get the same type of schedule we saw in the fall, Tanner. Each team will play six or up to six in the regular season. You'll have eight teams, I believe, make the playoffs, and then they'll combine down in Pueblo and crown, five state champs for the spring coming up. And those dates, March 11th through the 3rd, May 11th through the 13th, I think is when we will play out the state titles down in Pueblo. But practice starts tomorrow. Games, I believe, on the 18th can get underway. So we're going to strap it up a little bit.
It's so interesting, the decision process that went into this. And yeah. Now we're going to have two state titles in the record books. I think that they should have called one of them the COVID Bowls and just gone that way. I think the feeling from a lot of people, Kevin, is that the spring season was the quote-unquote legitimate state champ because the field was so much deeper.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to get that already. When I posted the link to our story about practice starting tomorrow, somebody says, man, I hope they don't crown champs in the spring. Well, they're going to. Chaz always mentions, you know, equity and balance, and so it was the understanding if you decided to play in the spring, you would have a chance to play for a state championship. So that's the case. And we're going to get some teams. You know, most of the 4A, 5A, and 8-man teams are ones that have kind of been under the radar. But you get into the 3A ranks, you've got the Faith Christians of the world. Kent Denver's going to be in there. You've also got Rifle, Basalt, Glenwood Springs, and Coleridge and Salida from the western side. So competitive-wise, I think 3A is going to be the most fun bracket to watch. It's also the biggest. They have 16 teams in that division, so I think you're going to get some quality football there. Everywhere else, you're kind of got teams that do not have a lot of playoff success in the recent past on their resume, so this will give those kids a chance to maybe enjoy a little playoff run down and lift some hardware.
Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network. Before I let you go, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the governor issuing March 20th is a meat out day, encouraging people not to eat meat. And then Weld County today announced March 20th is a meat in day. So mom and dad are fighting again. But Kevin, are you going to be eating meat on March 20th?
Well, if I didn't, that'd probably be about the only day of the year I did. So, no, I'm a meat and potatoes guy from a long time ago, and so we branched out to fish and chicken recently. But beef is our main staple, and there's going to be events like that. You mentioned Weld County. There's a lot of counties around the state that have already made the same type of proclamation. There are going to be free barbecues in a lot of areas of the state that rely heavily on the cattle industry. So. I think that's going to be a big day, a fun day to make people know your opinion, if you will.
Yeah, well, and what day isn't a good day for that with social media anymore? But
I know, but the grill will be fired up on March 20th. Let's put it that way.
I like it. I think that's what I think that's what a lot of people are saying. Kevin, appreciate your time as always, my friend. We'll talk next week, and we'll be able to talk some playoff basketball and some football, which is just so weird to say.
Yeah, we'll have brackets out by then, and we'll actually have first-round games the night before, so we'll have plenty to talk about a week from today.
All right, Kevin, appreciate your time.
Have a good one.
That's Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps Network. And by the way, last week he did think Ryan was a telemarketer. I do not believe the same mistake was made today. 10:52, let's take a break. We'll come back into the headline that caught my eye. Wrap up this edition of NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.